This is Sam from the Masculine Journey podcast, and our goal with the podcast is help you to try to find your way in this difficult world. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Nikita Koloff here. Questions and answers. Q&A with Koloff, the devil's nightmare. Welcome back to Q&A with Koloff. That's right, questions and answers. It's not me asking the questions, it's you asking the questions. And if you'd like to submit some questions, go to koloff.net, email me, and let me know, hey, I'd love to be on your Q&A show. And with me today in the studio, a man who really needs no introduction, but I am going to introduce him anyway, Stu Epperson Jr. He is, when you talk about Truth Radio Network, he is the poster child for Truth Radio Network. I mean, he made this all possible, and Stu, great to have you with me on Q&A.
Well, it's good to be here. When I'm in this close proximity to Nikita Koloff, the Russian nightmare, I'm just looking around making sure that they're not planning on carrying me out on a stretcher. If I can walk out of my own accord and unscathed and unbruised and uncut, praise the Lord. So, take it easy on me, brother.
I didn't even bring my Russian chain today.
You don't need it. You got chain. You're a living walking chain. Look at those pythons, man. Look at the nightmare there.
Come on. Still in the gym after all these years.
Well, it's always a safe place when you're having lunch with Nikita or in the studio with him, because no one messes with a Russian nightmare. They know better. Especially the devil. He knows. You're the devil's worst nightmare.
Well, I'm trying to serve notice. I think my wanted poster with my picture on it is in hell, by the way.
Well, it sure is, yeah.
And I'm okay with that. So, doing my best to damage his kingdom and build God's kingdom.
Amen.
So, for those who don't know, I mean, Stu, you made the whole Man Up show and the Q&A and all that we're doing possible. And as the man who had the vision originally for Truth Radio Network, and when you reached out to me spring of 2020, and that's what made all this happen. And for those who don't know, give the listeners those who may not know who Stu Epperson Jr. is, give them a quick insight.
Quick snapshot. Husband to Julie, father to Hope, Grace, Joy, and Faith. Father-in-law to Harrison and grandfather to Walker.
Yeah.
Cool. Grew up in a radio family, didn't want to do anything like that. I had a whole other career track. Actually, you know, at one point in time, I wanted to be a pro wrestler.
Okay, come on.
I'm confessing that publicly on a national radio show. I actually just dreamed about being a pro wrestler, and a little thing called basketball got in the way.
Mm.
And then a big person named Jesus got in the way and changed all of that. And then coming out of college, following Jesus, I wanted to go to law school or grad school or seminary or play basketball overseas. I actually had a contract from Germany to play basketball overseas, and God had other plans. I didn't want to go into radio because that's what my family had always done.
Right.
But God had other plans. In the middle of my senior year in college, I got kind of roped into taking a class on broadcasting, but it was with an easy professor, and we were just cruising. You know, it was like we were gonna get an easy A.
Yeah.
You know, tap out, graduate, and go on to next. Right. Then the professor said, "Well, for our class project, we're gonna start an on-campus radio station." That's how we talked to Doc Saunders. And I thought, well, that'll be interesting. And then he said, leadership starts at the top. Who's going to be our manager? And I started to duck underneath my, those old wooden wraparound desks from school when you were little, right?
Slide down in your seat.
Oh, man, I just completely slumped under there, and everyone looked at me because they knew me. They knew I had a radio background, my family. I had worked in radio. I grew up as a little radio brat in all these stations and mics, and I used to eat the sugar cubes because I never had food. You know, I was so frustrated by that. And so they all looked at me, so I became the manager, and I loved it. I love the power of getting behind a mic like we're doing right now. You and I are talking behind these microphones,
right,
and thousands of people can hear this.
Yeah,
right?
Or millions, yeah, right.
And we're not
millions
picking up the phone and making a million phone calls, right? We never do that, and the energy. And so on even on that campus, So I had to put together a little team of people doing the production. I had to put a little team of people doing the engineering. Had a guy named Bill who could fix anyone's truck on campus, and he was in the class. I said, "Hey, Bill, you're our engineer." He's like, "What do you mean?" So he'd grab his toolbox, and we'd go to harvest old radio sites. And, you know, my dad's company had some old radio, you know, tower sites.
Yeah.
We'd go get equipment and a soundboard. And we, in the main dorm, there's a little tiny janitor's closet. And we said, "Can we use this for our station?" But we put it all in there, and someone had a 6-CD player, you know, which was rare back then.
Right.
You know, could play 6 CDs and rotate them, you know?
Right, yes.
And so we had a way to semi-automate it, just run reels of, you know, all the whatever the songs were back then. You know, and so and then I had a sales guy who could sell anything. I mean, this guy could sell ISIS to Eskimos. He was that good, right?
Was it Robbie?
No, not that good.
No, it wasn't Robbie.
But this guy, his name was Lauren Jones, and when we would walk out of chapel and it'd be raining, we'd look out and Lauren would be standing in the lobby with an umbrella hat on.
Okay.
And he had a whole bag of them. And we like, "Oh, man, I want one of those." So he would sell out of them, and, you know, and he'd make a, you know, few hundred bucks. I said, "Lauren," he was in the class. I said, "Lauren, you're our sales manager." And he would go and get local people to advertise, but it was Christian radio.
Wow.
And it was really just a tremendous blessing. And I'm like, "Man, I want to do this the rest of my life." So I swore I'd never do three things. Number one, I swore I'd never get into radio, because that's what dad and them did, right? And uncle and all them. I'm like, "I don't do, carve out a different track. You don't want to be, you know, right? You know?"
Right.
So I said, number two, I says, "I'm never going to go to Bob Jones University."
Okay.
Because it was a super strict place. You know, it was like really confined and rules and all that. Now, great Christian school, but I didn't like all the other stuff. And, of course, they've changed now. They're very they've dropped a lot of that stuff. But
more liberal, like many colleges.
But not in a liberal in a bad way. They've really, they've kept the faith, but they've lightened up some of those kind of crazy rules.
Right.
But here's the thing. The only place in America that had a graduate program that combined broadcasting and management was Bob Jones University.
Okay.
So here I am on my way back with my new bride from Southern California to Bob Jones University, literally in the buckle of the Bible Belt, Greenville, South Carolina. The third thing I swore I'd never go back to North Carolina, because that's where I grew up. I wanted somewhere different. Sprout your wings, right? So I'm in Greenville, and I'm working and going to grad school, loving it, and working in secular radio, and get a great job with some great stations, heritage stations in Winston-Salem, and I end up coming back to North Carolina. So those are the three things I told. So, you know, you want to tell God your plans, and you want to hear God laugh?
Yeah, he laughs.
Tell him your plans, right? So that's what happened. So then, you know, literally maybe 5 years later, 3 years later, 4 or 5 years later, somewhere in there, God woke me up at 4 a.m, and I just burned the word truth on me. And here I am driving around listening to great Christian music, but I couldn't find a station that had programs like Man Up, that had programs like Christian Car Guy, that had great teaching programs, 24-7, committed to it with a great signal. And so at that point, the Lord just burned on my heart to start Truth, the Truth Network. Literally a year or two later, I left a great paying, wonderful, you know, job, secular radio, making a ton of money, to start a 24-7 Christian teaching and talk format in North Carolina. And now we've got close to 31 signals nationwide, and we've got over 400 affiliates that carry some or all of our programming, you know, across the country. And we're reaching people all over the world. And your program is now 55 countries people can hear Man Up with Nikita Koloff.
It's moving. It's moving along. It's moving along. So a little background on Stu, but Q&A, questions and answers, Stu. So your opportunity to on air ask me a couple questions that – are burning to what do you want to know?
Okay, so the opponent you looked least forward to wrestling.
Oh man, well, you know, I tried to get along really honestly with every guy, because not, you know, people think, "Oh, you're all buddies, you're all friends," but it's like any job or anything, you have personality clashes. You have, so there were certain guys that, you know, if you say didn't get along with, like one guy is the name was Raging Bull Manny Fernandez.
Yes.
For whatever reason, we just didn't click. You know, I mean, we had matches. In fact, Ivan and I defeated Dusty Rhodes and Manny Fernandez for the World Tag Team Champions, the NWA Tag Team Championships. And I had other matches with him, and not that he was a bad guy in any sense, but we just didn't click.
Gotcha.
And so I did not look forward, especially if I had a single match. I just didn't really look forward to step in the ring with him, but still tried to go in and have a good match.
Gotcha.
Couple other guys real quick. Jake the Snake Roberts. You know, I was cautionary, if that's a word.
Yeah.
I used caution with him and another guy, Big Van Vader, who actually right here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, was my very last match ever against Big Van Vader. Got two injuries that night.
He was
450, 500 pounds, somewhere in that range, and he had a history of being reckless. Right. And he injured me that night, and yeah. And so
anyway. If people don't understand the sport, you know, pro wrestling, they if they don't want to call it sport, they don't have to. But the bottom line is when you're that kind of size,
yeah.
and you're in that, there's a lot on the line.
Very athletic.
And if someone goes rogue or gets mad, and they go off script.
Yep.
You know, there's things called vertebrae, and there's things called ligaments and tendons, right? And something could rip and tear pretty
bones
readily.
Bones and yeah.
But they look at the Russian things Nightmare and they think that this guy. But did was your profession? What motivated you to pump the iron? I mean, I know you were in the gym all the time. You're still in the gym, but what was it that kept you going in the weight room? Was it just to as part of the career,
the persona?
Yeah.
That I'd built. Well, and a little bit of backstory. You know, I was age 12 when I picked up a magazine called Iron Man Magazine. It was a bodybuilding magazine, and I was enamored by the guys in the magazine. And I remember making a statement to myself and a few others that this statement: one day I'm going to look like one of those guys.
Wow. Okay.
Age 12. Went and bought a 110-pound plastic weight set filled with sand or concrete from some might be old enough to remember Sears and Roebuck.
Yes.
Sears and Roebuck.
I know.
And I just began lifting, Stu, and thought one day. Fast forward 12 years later, I walk into Charlotte, North Carolina, a town I'd never been, after a five-minute, literally just a five-minute phone call with a guy named Jim Crockett Jr.
Yep.
Stu Epperson Jr. Jim Crockett Jr. introduced myself. From that five-minute phone call, he put me right on the TV set. Remember I said I want to look like one of those guys? Fast forward 12 years later, I went from about 100 pounds, dripping wet with rocks in my pocket, to 285, 8% body fat with a 34-inch waist.
Good gracious.
So that's how I broke into wrestling. Yeah. And all these years later, 50 years later, you know, still in the gym, working out and exercising and taking care of this body. But the motivations have changed now from the early days.
Sure, sure.
Now, I'm not trying to impress anybody anymore. Now I'm just trying to take care of this temple that God gave me, this body that God gave me.
Different motivation, but you still are on mission to reach folks and stay healthy. Now,
yes.
I want to ask you your most hated foreign object.
You
had the chairs. You had you had bats.
We had
tables.
We had the cowbell, probably the bull rope match with the cowbell tied in the middle.
Okay,
because that thing got swinging. Stan the Lariat Hansen, used to carry that thing and swing that thing around, and he was blind as a bat, like for real. Like if he take his glasses off, couldn't see his hand in front of his face.
Oh man!
In fact, one of my buddies was working the bell at ringside one time in Charleston, South Carolina. Stan was swinging that thing around. You were just a blur, and I jumped out of the ring, and he swung it over the rope and hit my buddy. My buddy got mad. I'm going to sue that guy. I go, Rich, you can't do that. You're part of the show. Sorry, you know. So the cowbell.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
So the cowbell was your most hated.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't like the cowbell.
What was the bloodiest match you had that you were just cut and bloody?
Magatie Shatoita.
Okay, that one. Was it a real blood or was it contrived?
No, it's self-inflicted wounds, and so there's no chicken capsules. Like I'm like where do I carry those in my tights and my cheek? Where do I carry those? You know, so we call them self-inflicted wounds. But Magnum, I it was too high up on the head. It hit a vein, and I was, as they would say, crimson red, as they would say. Yeah. So,
but that really made for some good posters and some good shots in the magazines and everything.
It did. Made for some good magazine covers and or shots.
We're
inside
just glad
the
you're
ring,
still alive to talk about that, brother.
Well, I am too. Well, all right, one more. We got time for one more question. I want to cut you short, but we got time for one more question. And
the most where are they now? Question.
Okay.
Who is, of all the wrestlers you've ever faced or you've ever known about today, modern day time, this century, this year, this day, who is it that you're most astounded by their condition? And that could be good, bad, or ugly, or that you're most shocked by, like you say, I would never in a million years, because I know people say this about you all the time, I'd never take this guy to be an evangelist for Christ. Who is it out there in the wrestling world that you are the most just in awe of how they are today?
Well, really a pretty quick answer to that, the Stinger, the icon Sting. I mean, he's with AEW Wrestling.
Yep.
Recently even had a tag match.
Wow.
And him and I are 11 days apart in age. And so,
no kidding.
Yeah, hats off to him.
He's still going.
Still going, and mostly outside the ring, you know, mentoring younger guys.
Yep.
But can still get in there and do it. And more than anything, more than his wrestling what he's accomplished in the world of wrestling, which has been a lot. I mean, he does qualify as an icon in wrestling, is the fact that in 1998, he surrendered his life to Jesus. In fact, his whole story is on the Man Up show. People can go back to archive the podcast.
That's a great show, great episode.
Yeah, and how he gave his life to, and I had the privilege of mentoring him over the years in his walk with Christ. And so he is salt and light in a wrestling world that predominantly is pretty dark. But he goes back in there, and true to his faith, he is salt and light in the wrestling community.
And he's held in there with multiple organizations, multiple MOs. He's reinvented himself how many times, how many trench coats, how many paint changes, how many good guy versus bad guy. He's there with Hogan. He's there against him. He's there with you. He's against you. He's okay. I mean, wow.
I know. I can't even imagine how many times he has painted his face. I may have to ask him one day. But anyway, so
praise the Lord. The testimony. What a beautiful testimony. How he God's brought the two of you together in a deeper camaraderie. And of course, your passion is it anyone you've ever wrestled with or known in that profession would come to know Christ. Yeah. And you and Sting want to spend eternity with those guys.
We are.
And so many have. Yep. And I love how your show highlights the testimonies of these wrestlers who are now, you know, in the ring for Jesus.
And I've had the privilege, I'll kind of end on this note, because I've had the privilege, Lex Luger and I, who do a camp together, co-facilitated camp, we've done a lot of ministry, had the opportunity to mentor him, invite Uncle Ivan Koloff to a revival in 1995, surrender his life to Jesus, set free of drug addiction, alcohol addiction, tobacco addiction, many other things. Magnum T.A., who's been on the show, a believer, and Road Warrior Hawk, prior to his passing, witnessed him giving his life to Jesus, and then bringing him on the road with me for the year and a half prior to his passing, mentoring and discipling him. And so I've been fortunate to be able to have an impact not only inside the squared circle, but outside as well. But Stu, thanks for being on Q&A with Koloff.
What an honor. This is a highlight of my very brief 90-second wrestling career to be in the on the air with you.
The man of the hour, the tower of power, too sweet to be foul, if you will. Stu Epithen, baby. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You are on the Q&A with Koloff. Tune back in again for another episode. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This is the Truth Network.